Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
I want to start off, as I often do, almost every week, by asking you some questions to get you thinking about our topic today and about your life and how those two things might intertwine. The first question is this: what has brought you to where you are today? Now, I know that's kind of vague. You might say, well, what do you mean? What brought me to church? Well, that fits in that category. Why are you here today? If this is your church home, why is this church your church home? But what has gotten you, or what has brought you, to the place where you are in other situations of your life? If you are in an occupation, why are you in that occupation? Why are you following that career path? Why do you have the job you have? Why do you live where you live? Why are you down here enjoying this kind of winter that may be chilly instead of up north where many of you came from, where you could be dealing with 3, 4, 5, 6, however many inches of snow? Why are you, if you are married to the person you're married to? Why are you in a relationship with the person you're in relationship with? If there's some other, why? How did that happen? A little bit deeper question, perhaps, requires a little more introspection. What has made you the person that you are today? Good, bad, indifferent, your character, your personality, your habits, your reputation. What has made you who you are? And the answer is just one word. And it's the title of my message today, and that is choices. Choices. Now, it's not just your choices, but it can also be other people's choices. You see, there's a lot of things that we experience in life, or places we end up being, or things that end up happening to us that really aren't a result of our choices. They're the result of someone else's choices. When we were growing up, there's a lot of things that happened to us and we experienced and perhaps shaped our future because of choices that our parents or our guardians or grandparents made. As we've grown up and we're married, there's a lot of things about our lives that have been shaped by choices that our spouse has made, and if we've had children, by choices that our children have made. And so a lot of things about where we are and who we are have been shaped by other people's choices, but I would say to you that the great majority of who we are and what we experience and where we are have been shaped by our own choices. We can't do much about the choices that other people make other than whatever influence we have in their lives. But we have tremendous impact over and control over the choices that we make. So today I want to talk about this idea of choices. We make thousands and thousands, and if we really want to get down to it, probably tens of thousands of choices every day. Now you might sit there thinking, I don't make that many choices. Well, I'm talking about choices that we may make that we don't even think about. Do you realize that every time you take a step, you're making a choice? Whether you think about it or not, the direction you're going to go, how far that step is going to be, how much, you know, there's just so many, that's just a simple little example, but there's so many thousands and thousands of choices that we make every day, and most of them are very relatively unimportant. Again, like, you know, walking across the room, how many steps will it take, how far will you step, all that kind of thing. Some other choices are important, but not that important, like, you know, what are you going to wear today? Does it really make that much difference whether you wear this shirt or that shirt, that pair of shoes, this pair of shoes? What you're going to eat, now that can have tremendous importance if you're not careful about eating right and you eat the wrong things all the time. But again, does it make a difference whether you have one egg or two, you know, whether you have eggs or cereal? You know, little choices like that, how we spend our free time. But there are other choices in life that are significantly important. I know this isn't rocket science. I know you all understand this. When you make a choice about what career path you're going to follow, that's pretty significant. And thankfully, you can change it if you need to. When you make a decision to take a certain job, that can be pretty significant. When you make a decision about where you're going to go to college, what field of study you want to pursue, that's pretty significant. When you make a decision about who you're going to marry, that is tremendously significant. And every married person could say, you don't think it's significant? Did I put you all to sleep? No, okay. That's a very important choice. Very important choice. Well, what is it that determines whether a choice is important or not? That's very simple also. It's the consequences of that choice, right? Because some choices we make don't, the consequences aren't that big a deal. But some choices we make have tremendous consequences. Tremendous consequences. Many times we make choices that lead us to regret because we don't adequately think about the consequences that will come, or we don't think of them that significant. That certainly applies to the area of marriage and jobs and things like that. Whether to have children or not. You know, all those different things, how many children to have, you know, those significant, important choices, the consequences can have a tremendous impact in our lives. In fact, I don't want you to meditate on this and dwell on this, but probably the biggest regret or the biggest regrets you have came about as a result of the fact that you didn't think seriously through the consequences of some important choice. Or perhaps you didn't know what the consequences would be. But it all comes down to choices. And today I want to talk about some of the important choices that we make in our lives. In fact, I want to talk to you about some of the most important choices you will ever make. They have serious consequences, and in fact, in many ways, they have eternal consequences. I believe that this is a very good time to talk about this. At the end of the year, the beginning of a new year, New Year's Eve. You know, to be honest with you, there really isn't that much difference between today and tomorrow. I mean, technically. But mentally and psychologically, we end a year, we begin a new year, and because of that, there's something in, I believe, the way God created us, that it causes us to think about a new start, a new beginning. It's time for change. You know, there are various times that it's a good time for change through life. You know, when you graduate high school, when you graduate college, when you get married, the end of a new year, beginning of a new one. It's a good time to think about change. And so I hope that as a result about talking about choices today, you will think about the choices that have brought you to where you are now and made you the person you are, but also look forward into the new year and say, where do I want to go? Where do I want to end up at the end of 2018 and even beyond that at the end of my life and even beyond that into eternity? And what choices do I need to make this year, this month, this week, maybe even today or tomorrow, to put me on that path that's going to get me where I'd like to go instead of just kind of doing what I want to do and how I feel like doing and who knows where I'm going to end up. Your choices brought you to where you are today. And they will take you to where you will be a year from now. John Maxwell, a pastor and a leadership, an expert in leadership, I guess you'd call it that. He said this, life is a matter of choices and every choice you make makes you. Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 29. As I mentioned before, it's the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus has done a lot of teaching about a lot of different things. And this is kind of how he's wrapping it up. It's his call to commitment. It's his call to make a decision. And in this passage, I find several choices that we not only can make, but every single one of us will make. In fact, we may have already made these choices. And the good news is that we can change them. But they're very significant choices. And I believe that as we focus on these choices and making the right ones, they can impact every single area of our life. And they can help us as we get to the end of 2018 to look back and say, I made some good choices this year and it brought about some good consequences in my life. So we're going to read Matthew 7 starting in verse 13. We're going to read it a little bit at a time and talk about each section separately. But the first choice that we see here is that we must choose the right way. We need to choose the right way. Look at Matthew 7, starting in verse 13, just 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, there's just a general principle here, even if you throw out the spiritual side of it, that's true. Anything of real value in life, anything that you want to try to accomplish or see happen in you, it's going to take some effort and it's probably going to be difficult. And you need to apply yourself to that. And that's something you can apply this next week, or this next year, I should say. But Jesus is talking specifically about spiritual things. And he's talking about when you know what your destination is, you need to choose the best road to get to your destination. Now, I'm so thankful for GPSs. You know, when they work like they're supposed to. And that they certainly work a whole lot better now than they used to years and years ago. I remember times using a GPS and it'll... You know, you tell it to take you one place and you end up in a cornfield or something, you know. Or it tells you to take a road that doesn't exist or something like that. But now they're a whole lot more accurate. But I remember the days, some of our young people are like, what's that? When you used to have to dig out a map. When you're going to go someplace you've never been before, planning a long trip for vacation or whatever, and say, I'm here and I want to go there, and what's the best route to get from here to there? And I can remember driving down the road and asking my wife to, you know, where do we need to go? Where do we need to turn? I'm not sure. We pull off and you had to wrestle with those maps. You know, those maps you'd get, you'd unfold them. You could never fold them back up the way they came. It's just impossible. They made them that way on purpose. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? So I'm thankful for GPS. And you know, you got your GPS and you've got where you're at and you put in where you want to go and you got some options. You can tell it to get you there the fastest way time-wise, the shortest way distance-wise. But you're looking for the best way to go to your destination. Now, Jesus, of course, is first of all challenging us to consider what is our destination. And here he's talking about eternity. And that's the biggest, most important question you need to answer in your life is, what is your destination? What do you want your destination to be? The Bible makes it very clear there are only two destinations. Heaven and the presence of God in paradise and through all eternity. And sometimes people get a little leery of this. Like, I don't want to go to a place where I got to sit on a cloud and strum a harp and be an angel forever and ever and ever. That sounds boring. That's not a picture of heaven that you see in the Bible. And I can't really dig deeply into that. But basically, the Bible makes it very clear that heaven is coming to earth. God's going to recreate this earth, and it's going to be back the way he originally created it, with all the good and none of the bad. And we're going to worship him and praise him because he deserves it. And it will not be a chore, but he has things for us to do that we will enjoy. And it's going to be a tremendously wonderful existence for all eternity. But if we choose to reject that, the default is we're going to hell. And again, I'm not going to preach a whole lot about that. It is not a place that God created for human beings. It is a place, the Bible says, that God created for Satan and his angels. But people will end up there. In fact, this passage tells us that more people will end up there than will end up with God. But it's not because of God's choice. It's because of our choice. And so Jesus is saying, you know, you need to look at your path. You need to make sure that the path, the way, the road, the translations translate this various ways, you know, road, path, whatever. You have to decide. You have to choose a road that's going to get you where you want to go. When my wife and I go to visit her parents up in Georgia, there are two main routes that we could take. One we take because if we want to take the scenic route, it's also the shortest route, and it's pretty, but it goes to a bunch of small towns. You got to slow down for the small towns. Or we can take the highway and go 70 miles an hour most of the way. And depending on how we want to travel, we choose that. But we can't just choose any route. There may be a couple of them we can choose. We can't choose to get on I-75 and head south and expect to end up in Georgia. It's not going to work that way. And so we have to choose our path. And you know, throughout history, God has often called his people to make a choice between his way and their own. You can look these up later, but in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, as God's people have just come out of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and the reason they were there is because they had chosen not to go God's way, but their own. God never planned for them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But now that generation has died off. Their children are there. They're ready to go into the wilderness or go into the promised land out of the wilderness. And Moses says, today you've got to choose. Your parents chose. They chose wrong. What are you going to choose? Fortunately, they chose God's way and went into the promised land. Very shortly after that, in Joshua chapter 24, after they've gotten into the promised land and they've started to settle down and everything, Joshua's at the end of his life. And he says, listen, you know, you made the choice back at the Jordan River. I'm paraphrasing here. He says, but we still have to keep making the choice. You need to choose today whom you're going to serve. And in that passage, we have that famous saying where Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We find later in 1 Kings chapter 18 when God's people have gone tremendously astray. And he sends his prophet Elijah. And there's this great battle between the gods on the mountain. God Jehovah versus Baal and the other idols. You can read about that in 1 Kings 18. But basically, it was God calling out through Elijah, you've got to make your choice, Israel. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve all these other false gods, these other idols? Later, when God's people had disobeyed so badly, they were getting ready to be carried into captivity. Jeremiah 21:8, that same call is issued. Who are you going to serve? What path are you going to take? Are you going to pursue God and his plans, or are you going to rebel and turn against him? And you know, that same choice is placed before every single one of us. And Jesus talks about it here. He talks about the narrow gate or and the narrow way or the narrow road. And he says, those who find it. You know, the word find there makes it indicate to me anyway that it's something you've got to look for. It's not something you're just going to wander onto. You're not going to wander onto this path. This is a path you have to choose. And this narrow gate that you have to go through represents faith in Christ. That moment in time where you make a decision, I am going to go God's way. And I am going to put my faith in Christ. And once you enter through that gate, then you're on the narrow way. And that equals life in Christ. The life that God calls us to live. And Jesus says that that narrow way leads to eternal life. You know, Jesus emphasized this later on in his ministry in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said something that is not very politically correct, but it is the truth according to the Word of God. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to know the Father. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to have eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ himself. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 4, or he was talking, he says, there is salvation in no one else, talking about Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus says, that is a narrow way, and it's only accessed through a narrow gate, and you will only get on that way and through that gate by your choice. And unfortunately, there are very, very few who will find it and choose it. And I hope that you're one of those. But he talks about this other way, this other gate, this wide or broad gate and way or road. And he says those who enter it, can I say that's just kind of the default. It's like if you haven't entered the narrow gate, you're already on the broad road. Because even though in our world there's lots of roads going all different directions, in this spiritual sense, there's only two ways. There's only two roads. And if you haven't chosen the narrow road, you're already on the broad one. And Jesus mentions that this wide gate and way is basically any life apart from faith in Christ. And he says this broad way leads to destruction. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. But there are so many more that are traveling the broad way. And why is that? Because it's easy. And because it doesn't require discipline and you can do whatever you want, you can follow your own inclinations. But it's difficult to follow that narrow road. Now, I want to make something very, very clear here. That when we talk about having eternal life and a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and we use this picture, it's not God saying, you better get on my road or I'm going to send you all to hell. Now, the picture would much more accurately be portrayed is that there is a broad road that is leading to a sheer drop-off cliff that no one can survive the fall from. And God is saying, don't go that way, you'll die. Take my way. You will avoid that cliff. That's really what it's all about. God wants no one to perish. Peter tells us that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the basic facts are these. The Bible makes it very, very clear that we are all sinners separated from God. It started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. But we can't just blame Adam and Eve like it's all their fault. They started the ball rolling. But we all know that we wrestle with sin in ourselves. We all have that within us that draws us and motivates us and sometimes drives us to want to do what we know is wrong. And I know a lot of people don't believe in God and they don't believe in right and wrong. But I'll tell you what, every single one of us is guilty of doing something that we believe is wrong. Isn't that true? Even totally apart from God, there are certain things that we believe are wrong, but we do them. There's just something within human beings. It's that sinful nature, and that sinful nature separates us from God. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do we can try to be good people, and that's a good thing to do, but there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to make ourselves right with God. But the Bible says that God loves us and loves every human being so much that He did something about it. And so He sent Jesus Christ to this earth. And He was a great man, a great teacher, a great example. But the main reason He came was to die, that our sins could be forgiven. He paid the price on the cross for our sins. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't have any sins. He paid the price for our debt. And so we come to God only through Him. We come to God saying, okay, God, I don't have anything to bring. But Your word says that Jesus died that my sins could be forgiven. Would You please forgive me? I am a sinner. Would You please forgive me? Not because I can be so good or whatever, but because Jesus paid the price. And now I want to live a life pleasing to You. I want to walk on that road that You have. And that's what this is all about. Making the right choice about the road we're going to take. About the way we're going to take. We need to choose the right way. And for some of you that are here today, I want to tell you something. Any day and every day is a great day to surrender your life to Christ. But since we're in today, even though it's New Year's Eve, that might make it even more appropriate. But even if it wasn't New Year's Eve, today is the day. If you've not yet surrendered your life to Christ and invited Him to be your Savior and Lord and asked God to forgive you of your sins because of what He has done, I challenge you to do so today. And I say to you with all the love in my heart that if you choose not to do that and you persist in that broad path, it will lead to destruction. But not because God wants it to. It's just that's the path you're on. That's the path you've chosen. And that's where you'll end up. So we need to choose the right way. The second thing that we can do that'll influence our lives and help us as we go into the future is to choose the right leaders. To choose the right leaders. Look at Matthew 7 again, starting in verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, neither can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." So Jesus is talking about people who can have influence over us. Now in this particular thing, He's talking about prophets. We often think of prophets as people in the Old Testament that spoke this word that told the future. And as we've learned over the last year and a half as we've studied the Old Testament, that's only part of what a prophet was. A prophet basically is someone who speaks for God, or claims to speak for God anyway. A prophet is someone who speaks for God, and a false prophet is someone who claims to speak for God but really doesn't. And Jesus here compares them to two things. He says they're like wolves who are dressed up like sheep because they want to eat the sheep. And He also compares them to some kind of tree. He says you'll be able to recognize whether they're true or false by the fruit that comes from their life, just like you can recognize an orange tree by the oranges on it, an apple tree by the apples on it. But He's talking about these prophets, these people who spoke for God or claimed to speak from God but really didn't. And He says, you've got to be careful who you're listening to. Now, you might think, well, why would someone claim to speak from God when they're really not? Well, probably because they've got something to gain from it. There are plenty of people that are out there that claim to speak for God that really aren't, and it's because they're gaining something from it. Now, I'm not trying to cause me or you to be very, very judgmental and critical. But the Bible says that we do need to be very discerning. And there are those out there who sound wonderful and they say all kinds of spiritual things. But it's only for self-interest, whether it's to get attention or prestige or some kind of financial or material gain or just to promote their own ideas. I guess it's certainly possible that there are some people who are just plain deluded. They really think they're speaking for God, but they're not. But Jesus said we should watch out for them. The picture he uses here of them being wolves seeking to take advantage of the sheep. You know, and what is it that wolves do to sheep? They don't herd them. They might hurt them, but they don't herd them. They want to devour them, take advantage of them, take from them, even their lives. And he says, we have to be very, very careful who we're listening to, who we're following. The New Testament often warns not only against false prophets, but false teachers and false brothers and false messiahs. You might think, well, why would anybody even listen to or follow these false leaders? Well, the main reason is because they may be deceived. They're not being very discerning. They don't realize that they're false leaders. But you know what? One of the reasons why it may be easy for us to be deceived, and even in the midst of doubts and questions continue to follow, is because there may be some kind of benefit we receive from it. It may make us feel good. It's what we want to hear. We don't really want to hear the whole truth, the real truth. We like that message. And so Jesus here talks about a test for leaders. There are things you could look out for. It's very simple. He says, just watch for the fruit. Because you see, people aren't always like what they appear. Heard a story about a man who came back to his car in the parking lot and it had been hit by another car, but there was nobody else around. And he noticed that there was a note under the windshield wiper. And he thought, oh, great, whoever did this, they left me their information so I can contact them. We'll get this all worked out. And he pulled that note out from under the windshield wiper, and it said this. It says, I just smashed into your car. The people who are watching me witnessed the collision. They probably think I'm writing down my name and address, but I'm not. They're wrong. And that's all it said. You see, the people that watched, they thought, oh, that guy, he hit that car. He can't stick around. He's given name and address so he can make it right. But he wasn't what he appeared to be. And Jesus says, you gotta watch out for the leaders that you might be following, the people that might be influencing you. And so what is this test? He says, the fruit of their life. He says, by their fruit. Twice he says it. By their fruit you will know them. Now, what is this fruit? Jesus doesn't expand too much on it here, but there's teaching in other scripture, and I can't dig deeply into it. But let me just tell you the kind of fruit that you need to look for in people's life, and that is their character. And that's not always obvious, but the more you know them, the longer you know them, the more you get to know them, the more obvious it is, their character, who they are, it will eventually reveal itself. Now, nobody's going to be perfect. You have their conduct, what they do. You have their motives, why they do it. Now, motives are very difficult to pin down. I don't know about you, but I find myself falling into the trap of just assuming people did things for a certain reason. And I may not be right. They may have had a totally different motive, but sometimes motives become very clear by things that are said and done, and that's part of the fruit that we can watch out for. But the most important fruit is their message, what they teach. It must agree with the Word of God. And I'm so glad that God gives us things to look out for. You know, fruit makes it very easy to identify the kind of tree. We had a tree that was given to us years and years and years ago, and it was actually just given to us. It looked like a stick, and it actually looked like it was dead. But the person had bought it and had a little tag on it and said, put it in water, it'll grow roots, then plant it in the ground, and it'll grow. And I had my doubts, but I'm not a horticulturalist. So I stuck it in water, and sure enough, it began to grow some roots, and it began to sprout some leaves and stuff, and I planted it, and it's in our backyard. Now it's a beautiful tree, and at a certain time of the year, it gets these beautiful kind of pinkish, magenta, off-white blossoms. But can I tell you, I went for years and years and years not knowing what kind of tree it was. I asked the person that gave it to us. I don't know. I just bought it somewhere and gave it to you as a gift. I tried searching for it on the internet. I couldn't find anything to look for. I could not. I asked everybody who came. Do you know what kind of tree? No, I don't know what kind of tree that is. And come to find out, it's a variation of a crepe myrtle. Now, if you know anything about crepe myrtles, crepe myrtles have so many different variations, they can look like almost anything. They can be a bush, they can be a shrub, they can be a tree, they can be a pole. I mean, you know, but anyway. But you know what? If that tree had grown up and had put an orange just had shown up, it'd have been very easy. It's an orange tree. Apples have shown up, it's an apple tree. And so in the same way, God says we need to keep in mind those people who are leading us, those people who have an influence in our lives, what kind of fruit is coming from their life? Because you want to be very careful. If you follow the wrong leader, they're going to take you the wrong way. And it's going to lead to wrong consequences in your life. And so Jesus warns them. He says, watch out. Be discerning. Be wise. I've shared with you before, one of the greatest examples we can find is in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. As Paul is traveling and preaching, and he goes from Thessalonica to Berea, which is another town. Both of them are towns. And in Acts 17, 11, it says, now these Jews, talking about the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I think there's such a great template there. We need to receive God's word as we read it and study it for ourselves, as we hear it preached and taught with eagerness. I want to know the truth. Feed me the truth. Share with me the truth. But not just accept it without examining it, but comparing it to God's word for ourselves to make sure that it truly is the truth and not a situation where someone is taking some words from the Bible and twisting them and distorting them and giving the wrong meaning of it to lead us the wrong direction. So we need to choose the right leaders to follow. Choose the right leaders. But I want to say there's another aspect. Well, let me just add this in here. This is true not just of people, especially as we look at the future going into the new year. This is true of anything or anybody that has influence in your life. I mean, these principles can apply to your friends. It can apply to what you watch, what you listen to, what you focus on, what you seek out on the internet. Anything that can have an influence in your life, you got to be careful. What is the source of that and which direction is it leading me? Because it is leading you. So we need to choose the right leaders to follow. But I want to throw this little extra thought in here. You need to choose to be the right kind of leader. They might say, I'm not a leader. We are all leaders. Because all a leader is someone who has influence on someone else. And every single one of us has influence on other people. Maybe not in the same way as, say, a pastor would or a politician would or someone who's up in front of people or someone who's in a position of authority or responsibility. But we all have influence on the people around us. And I want to challenge, I believe Jesus is challenging us to make a choice to be the right kind of leader. Let's look at verses 21 to 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many, many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, everything that's said here can also be applied to the leaders that we just talked about. But I want us to take this just a little bit more personally. And that is that we are sure, we do what we can to be sure that we're the type of people, if people are going to follow our leadership, if they're going to follow our example, that will lead them in the right way. In this particular couple of verses, Jesus is talking about people who claim to be Christians, but they really aren't. They may even do and say wonderful and impressive things. They look good at on the outside, and they're going through the motions. They can talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They look good on the outside, but there's something wrong on the inside in their heart, in their motives, their relationship and commitment to God. Again, there's a little thing Jesus said that we can use to evaluate, in this case, not evaluate others, but evaluate ourselves. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who prays, not everyone who gives, not everyone who does good things. I just throw those extra things in there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, I want to make something very clear. He's not saying that the only way you can be saved is by being good enough and doing the right things. I already told you, we can't do enough good and we can't get into heaven by doing the right things. We can only do so by trusting in Christ. But we find here and in other places in Scripture says that if we've truly trusted in Christ and we're surrendered to Him, we will do the right thing. That's the sign. To go back to the illustration I used before, that's the fruit that's going to show up in our lives if we truly know Jesus Christ. We'll begin to walk in obedience to Him. So we need to be one who's going to do God's will. We're in right relationship with God. We're walking in that path He has for us. We're seeking to do what He wants us to do. And my concern would be, you know, are we just those people who do all the right things or try to do all the right things, but we're not right with God? And just as I said earlier, there may be some that are here today and you've never made a decision for Christ, and today's the day. There may be some of you that are here that you've been trying to do all the right things, but you're not really right with God. You may look good on the outside, but you need to get things right with God. Today is the day to do that. Jesus said about people in His day, He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people. You know, if our hearts are right, it's going to influence what we say and what we do. The fruit's going to come. And as we talk about being the right sort of leaders, we got to realize that the way we live our lives and what we do, it has a tremendous impact on other people. And that's why I worded it the way I did. As we go into this new year, we're making choices as we go along. We want to choose to be the right kind of leader. We're going to choose to be the type of person, if someone follows our example, that it will lead them closer to the Lord rather than farther away. We may not be perfect, but we're trying our best with God's help to live for Him. Well, let's look at the last one. And the last one just kind of flows out of what I just said, and that is choose to be obedient. Choose to follow God. Choose to do what God says about things, not just what you feel like doing, not just what comes to you naturally, but what does God say about it? Let me just say this. Those who are being baptized, if you're not prepared, you might want to go ahead and start getting prepared, because we're going to head that way pretty quick. So choose to be obedient. Look at verses 24 to 27. It's a story that Jesus told that's kind of familiar to many people. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, this parable is pretty clear. You have two houses that are very similar, and they're going to end up going through a storm that is very similar, but the only thing that is different is the foundation and the results. And Jesus says that those who hear what He has to say and they put them into practice are like a man who built a house on a solid foundation, so no matter what happens, that house stands firm. But a foolish person is someone who may even hear His teachings, but they don't put it into practice in their life. And it's like someone who builds a house on sand that seems firm because it's dry. And this is a common thing in their day and age on the edges of the Sea of Galilee, the sandy beach. It was very firm when it was dry. But then when the storm comes and the water begins to run, that sand becomes very unstable and the house falls. That's the way our lives will be. And so Jesus calls us to hear His teachings. And I would just challenge you to consider, are you putting yourself in a position to hear? And if you are you listening? And I would also challenge you this next year, make a choice to listen to God. That means that you need to spend time with Him and spend time in His Word. I challenge you to be in God's house where you can receive teaching and encouragement, and we can encourage one another to learn more about Him. But it doesn't just stop there, because you see, both of the people in Jesus' story heard His words. Jesus doesn't just challenge us to hear His teachings, but He calls us to do His teachings. I want you to know, both the wise man and the foolish man listened to Jesus. They heard what He had to say, but the difference came in doing. There are people who hear the truth, but they never apply it. There are people that go to church every single Sunday, but it never makes a difference in their lives. You know, knowledge is useful, but only if we put it into practice. There's kind of a mathematical equation here, and that is that hearing plus doing equals obedience. And there's a lot the Bible says about that. Just very quickly, let me read a couple of verses. In John 14, 23 to 24, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." Now, you've heard people say, "Well, I love Jesus. I love Jesus." But you can't tell it from their life. And Jesus says, they've got the wrong idea. If you really love me, you're going to do what I say. In fact, in 1 John 2, 4 and 5, it says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Now, I didn't say that. It's not even John, actually. It says it's God. He says, if you say that you know God, have a relationship with him, but you're not trying to walk in obedience, you're lying, whether you realize it or not. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, here's an exhortation. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He says, if you just hear the word and listen to it, but you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself if you think you're okay. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He says, don't be like the person that gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror and says, oh, my hair's a mess. I got stuff stuck to my face. And then you don't do anything about it and you go out into the world. That's like somebody listening to God's word, hearing what God has to say about something and not doing anything about it. Do what God says. Jesus makes it clear that just like the beginning of the text we look at today, that the results of not obeying is destruction. Not just in eternity, but even in our life. As we choose to disobey God, it can bring such terrible destruction and negative consequences in our lives. This passage ends up in verse 28 and 29. It says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And I can't help but think, it says they were astonished, but did they choose wisely? You know, you can leave here in just a little bit and you can go home saying, well, it's good to be in God's house. Or you can go home and say, oh, that was a waste of time. I hope you don't feel that way. You can even talk to me after and say, that was a good message, Pastor. And those kind of words are encouraging to me, but it's only because of God's grace that that ever happens as we look at his word. But the important thing is not how you feel about what you heard today, but it's what you do about it. And I just want to challenge you. Choose wisely. Every day, not just at the end of the year, hoping for and looking for and planning for a good new year, but every day, choose wisely. Choose the right road, the right way. Choose the right leaders to follow. Choose to be the right kind of leader and choose to be obedient, because these choices have eternal consequences. And I would say to you, if these are the priority in your life, the rest of the choices you make, I think, will be a lot easier to make. And it'll be a lot easier to make the right ones. Choose wisely. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us through it. And Father, we need this every day. But Lord, today especially, since it's New Year's Eve and we're facing a new year tomorrow, and we want it to be the best year it can possibly be, God, we pray that you'd help us to make the right choices. God, I pray for those that may be here today and they don't even know you because they've never made that choice to put their faith, their trust into Jesus Christ, to ask you to forgive them of their sins and to save them, Lord God, and begin that path on that narrow road. Father, I pray that they would decide, you know what, I've been kind of just going through life, doing my own thing long enough. I need a Savior. And I want to serve Jesus. Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help all of us to make sure that we're careful about the influences in our lives, Lord, that we are following leaders and the other things that we allow into our lives are leading us closer to you and your plan for us rather than farther away and perhaps leading us to some measure of destruction. Father, I pray that you'd help us to seek to be a good influence on the people around us. And Father, all that comes about is we just try to walk in obedience to you. And Lord, we're all going to face tests and trials this year when we're tempted to do our own thing instead of what you ask us to do, what you tell us is the right thing to do. Lord, our flesh is going to say, oh, but this is going to be much more fun. You're going to get more enjoyment out of it. You're going to get more benefit out of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just say, no, I'm going to do what God says to do because he's got my best interests in mind. And he's going to bring about a good response. And I don't want my life to end up in any kind of destruction because I've done the wrong thing. So, Father, help us to make the right choices. As you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask really quickly, are you here today and you say, I need a Savior? And this, the last day of the year, heading into the year, this is the time I want to say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins. I thank you that you paid the price, and I want to surrender my life to you today. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up, because I want to pray for you. Don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Anyone at all, you say, this is the day. I've gone too long without doing it. The Holy Spirit's working on your heart. You say, I need a Savior today. Okay. I hope the fact that I don't see any hands means that everybody in here has made that choice. But if you've not, I challenge you and encourage you. Realize this is the most important choice you can make in your life. If you have any questions, I would love to talk with you about it after service. I would love to have the opportunity to help you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. So, Father, help us, Lord God, to make good choices this next year. And I pray that the result of it will be a life of blessing and of glory for you and of productivity, Lord God, not just in the natural, but for your kingdom. And, Lord, I give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.